From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
2, 3, 4, stick around, we'll tell you more.
We are living in a mashed-up musical world right now. From the mainstream to the underground, songs being sampled, pulled apart, remixed, mashed. If you're a fan, you know that Girl Talk does it, Danger Mouse, DJ Spooky, Negative Land, and it's not just music. My guest today, John Nelson, pulls in sound from old movies, laugh tracks, the news, to make an audio dreamscape. This hour, On Point Mashups, Dreams, and the Musical Media Age. You can join the conversation. Are you a mashup fan? Do you mix your own? And what does it say about our era that we're so into the recycling, layering, mixing of sound? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Duluth, Minnesota, is Jonathan Nelson, a pioneering mashup and sound collage artist and radio host. His new album, under his artist's name Escape Mechanism, is Emphasis Added. He's been broadcasting his syndicated show, Some Assembly Required, for 10 years now. Most everyone in the underground world of mashups has come through the show, from Evolution Control Committee to the current mashup phenom, Girl Talk. John Nelson, welcome to On Point.
Hello.
It's great to have you here today. There's a lot we want to hear and learn from you. And with me, with us, here in our On Point studios, is Tim Riley, music critic and writer. His latest book is Fever, How Rock and Roll Transformed Gender in America. He edits the Riley Rock Index online, a new music site. You can see it at RileyRockIndex.com. Tim Riley, great to have you here as well.
Good to be here, Tom.
John Nelson, we're going to hear a lot today, but tell us, what is it you do, sir, when you mash?
Well, I'm a sound collage artist, as your wonderful introduction indicated. So what I'm taking, what I'm doing is taking previously recorded sounds and manipulating them and rearranging them in ways which hopefully only I would choose to do.
And you do it, you say, kind of in a manner that follows the sound of your own dream life.
Mm-hmm. Right. If the tracks aren't specifically inspired by your dream, there hardly is a track I've produced that doesn't sound like it could be in a dream.
So you're in the real sort of personal, psychological, sound from all over end of this business. There's another part that's very pop-oriented and very much out there in the world. If you would, John, Tim, listen with me for just a moment to a little bit from Girl Talk. This is the crossover mashup artist, Girl Talk, his real name Greg Gillis, become a hugely popular phenom, makes albums usually very danceable out of all kinds of popular songs. This is from his new release, Feed the Animals. Okay, John Nelson in Duluth, Minnesota. Please jump in with us here. You've talked with Greg Gillis, a.k.a. Girl Talk. You'll know him and the elements of what we're listening to here better than I will. Pick this apart a little bit for us. You're our mashup artist. What all is being layered and played with here? Identify some of the elements for us.
Well, I can't tell you what specific pop songs are being sampled there. I can tell you what he's doing. It's kind of a combination of, at least in the past, he's worked more with glitch music, and then he's become more identified with mashup artists. And not to be argumentative, but I don't actually think of myself as a mashup artist specifically.
You're the sound collage guy. There you're drawing the line between sound collage and the music world. Tim, let me put it to you then. You've just heard that great sort of toss salad of all kinds of stuff. And this is called Play Your Part, Part 1 from Girl Talk. What caught your ear in that?
Well, we're not going to take it, and I can't think of the band's name that I'm supposed to. Who is it? It's Twisted Sister, of course. Twisted Sister, we're not going to take it. It's the nose on our face.
Yes.
But what he's doing is taking there some very familiar sounds that we all listen to on hit radio and recombining them and recontextualizing them into a whole new stew. And what this guy does is actually very different. I think John Nelson's putting himself in a different camp for very good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Girl Talk really is very interesting, getting people up and dancing. It's very much a club act. And, in fact, he's turned this whole...
he does live acts all over.
He does live acts. He's very well known as being a great live act. And
quit his day job recently, I hear, to just be the kind of mashup DJ.
But it's the kind of thing where you wouldn't have to be a live act in order to make this music. In other words, you could imagine him having a career without ever appearing live.
Mm-hmm.
And Nelson seems to me taking it in a different direction. That is, his primary motivation is not to get people to dance. It's to get people to engage in his dream life and to share his dream life and sort of to prompt new dreams.
A dream life that, however personal it may be, in the way that art works, we probably all share a piece of. We heard a little bit of the pop end, the mashup end. Let's mash back toward the sound collage end here and John Nelson's work that he does under his name, Escape Mechanism. Let's listen to, this is another song from his new album. It's a love song, you might say, but really it's a sound collage called Most Wonderful.
So, you love me?
Love me.
Love you.
I don't know. Do you love me?
Love me.
Come on, right now. Do you love me?
No, I don't know.
Love me.
Don't you love me?
What kind of question is that?
Love
I wanted to know.
Won't you love me?
I can't think of that now.
Do you love me?
What other questions are there?
Most Wonderful.
What questions are there, really?
From John Nelson and his new album, Emphasis Added. John, it's hard to pull my ears away from that. It's kind of hypnotic. It's got a David Lynch kind of feeling to it. And I guess you're pulling all kinds of stuff from movie soundtracks there.
Exactly, yeah. I'd say 95% of the sounds from that particular track are from Hollywood movies.
There's something about that click, 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 click of the movie projector that really takes me into the dream mind. Talk to us about that. What you heard before you did it, and how you went about creating it for us to hear.
Well, I actually started that particular track. I laid out all the samples for a different kind of project, and then, as tends to happen to people from time to time, I was suffering from a broken heart. This was several years ago, I should say.
Yep.
And I was in the studio, and I had all those samples laid out in front of me, and I thought. Well, actually, I guess I didn't even think. It all just sort of came together on its own. I just started putting them together, and that's what I came up with. And I think that a real melancholy sense emerges, and that's definitely where how I was feeling at the time I was producing it.
And when you went to look for the elements, clearly you've got the Do You Love Me? Do You Love Me? And all the others, but is it like a jigsaw where you're moving these around until they somehow match the mood in your mind, John?
That's a really good description of it, yeah. I think it was just a coincidence to begin with because I happen to like romantic comedy a lot, so that was probably why I was working with that source material. And it just clicked on that particular evening in the studio that I was happening to be going through something that reflected or made that so appropriate at the time.
It is a wild and wonderful world out there. I just love that movie projector running through it. We'll talk more about that, but there's also hot stuff out there. Here, a mashup, the other end of the street from the sound collage, Danger Mouse, What More Can I Say?
It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. I'm in new sneakers, dual seaters, few divas. What more can I tell you? Let me spell it for you. W-I-L-L-I-E. Nobody truer than H-O-P. And I'm back for more. New York's ambassador. Prime minister. I'm back to finish my business up.
Tim Riley, there's the mashup from Danger Mouse. What more can I say off? Well, you can hear what he's mixing. Jay-Z's Black Album, the Beatles' landmark White Album, Danger Mouse calls it the Gray Album, and it was a sensation.
Well, it was a huge sensation. It was sort of a tour de force because it was such a long form exercise. I mean, he wasn't just doing a couple different tracks and a couple different samples. He was saying, I can merge these two completely different records from completely different genres and eras, and I can fit them together, even though you might not ever put these albums together in your own head. I see connections and hear connections that nobody else seems to hear. And it was so persuasive that it really was a mind-blowing argument for this new mashup sensibility.
You might dance to that, but at the same time, I hear in that kind of invitation to the dream dance that John Nelson's shooting for in his sound collages.
Yeah, and it's also a way of saying, you know, this recorded history now is all just part of our giant new palette. Now that we have these tools, these digital tools that allow us to play with these different snippets, the entire history of recorded music now becomes this new instrument or a new orchestra that we can tap from and draw from in ways that we never were able to before, at least so easily.
Tim Riley, John Nelson, Duluth, Minnesota, please stand by. We're talking about mashup music sound collage using mashup and collage to tap into our media age dream life. You can join us. Are you into mashup? Do you love a good layering of remixed, recycled, mashed up music and sound? A little Elvis with a little Jay-Z, with a little Beatles, with a little street noise. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We'll go out with Cycles from John Nelson's Escape Mechanism's new album, Emphasis Added. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Based on something old, but a new direction.
That's the marvelous thing about it.
A new direction. Based on something old, but a new direction. A new direction. As the times change, you want something different from your entertainment.
Do you believe that everything goes in cycles?
Yeah.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about mashup music, sound collage, and using mashup to tap into our media age dream life. We've been joined by musical mashup and sound collage artist and underground radio impresario, John Nelson, a.k.a. Escape Mechanism. He joins us from Duluth, Minnesota. His new album is called Emphasis Added, and you hear behind us right now the track Details, some industrial sound, some hip-hop, some cool jazz in there, all mashed. Tim Riley's with us as well, author of Fever, How Rock Transformed Gender. He edits the Riley Rock Index at rileyrockindex.com. You can join the conversation. What is it about sound collage, about mashup, that might move us like sounds and songs alone might not? Can you hear John Nelson's dream life in his mashups? Do they move you or lose you? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Michael's calling from Windham, Connecticut. Michael, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Very well. What do you know? What do you hear?
What do I know? I'm actually a DJ myself out here in Connecticut, and I think mashing up is, well, I think music in particular, DJs hear music and feel music differently than other people do. They hear things that other people won't. I think mashing up is definitely a way of letting the listener into the mind of the DJ. Like, this is what I hear. This sounds good with this. This goes great with that. It's putting a new spin on music. It's allowing you to remix older songs and putting your own flavor on them right then and there. I think doing it live is even more fantastic than we record it in the studio, because doing it live shows that you're feeling it in the moment right then and there, and the listener really has a sense of what's going on in your head.
And what about John Nelson's very considered and deliberate sort of dream life expressed through not just beat and music, but also film sound clip and all the rest, Michael? Does it move you? Does it grab you?
Oh yeah, it definitely does. It lets you into their mind. It shows you who the DJ is as a person. I think each DJ has their own individual style and flavor and, you know, swag that they have and they bring to the table. And when you mix in whatever it is, you're mixing in, you know, sound clips or songs, even if it's just beat matching, you know, putting two beats together, it lets the listener in on who you are and your style. I think every DJ kind of has better taste in music than other people. And, you know, doing mashups is letting people know, like, this is my taste in music. I like, you know, two completely different styles, and so should you, because it sounds good. And, you know, I know it sounds good, and you should think so, too.
Every DJ with better taste, it's a big claim, but maybe you're onto something there. Thanks for calling. Let's get another Matthew in New Haven, Connecticut. Matthew, you're on the air.
Yeah, another Connecticut guy, huh?
All right, yeah, great.
Well, actually, my question was sort of relating to the last caller. It was kind of, do you think that this new expression of music is essentially part of that idea that there really isn't new sound out there to be created, so we have to create new sounds from what's already out there? Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Let us pick it up. John Nelson, how about it? Is this creative? Is this derivative? Is it both?
It's definitely both. I think that's the safe answer. I think that there's always going to be new sounds to be created, and if we're having trouble in the meantime, this might be a bridge, to bridge the gap.
Well, let's pick up though on the kind of pejorative angle of Matthew's question. Is it because we don't have as much great creative, freshly newly minted creative music going on, that people are looping back on what's been and looping so much together, John? Or is this the new edge of creativity?
Well, I think it's just a reflection of the fact that technology is so prevalent, because the fact is we've been reflecting upon past expressions and past styles since the very first style, whatever that was, and we're always building on what came before and what came before that and what came before that. So really all this is the technology is just making it very clear exactly who the influences are, because it's right there in the mix.
Tim, what do you say? The end of creativity as we've known it, or just a new frontier?
I agree with what John says there. I also think just because somebody finds a niche and uses these particular tools to build a new kind of sound or a combination of sounds, that doesn't preclude somebody from being an acoustic songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a lot of really great creative work going on in a lot of different genres. We have, what the collapse of the music industry has shown us is how many sublimely talented people are out there doing really interesting work in dozens of different niche categories, and this is just one of them. I wouldn't say this precludes any other kind of creativity at all.
But in a way, technology has just blown the doors open so that anybody and everybody, well, not maybe anybody, but almost can do this now. I mean, you can go online and get sort of step-by-step instructions for how to become your own mashup guy. Here's from Wired Magazine. How to make the Coos Boots Riley rap over Judas Priest. And they say, well, you get this audio editing application Peak or Wavelab, and then set the vocal normalization to 100%, and then the instruments to negative 100%, drop it out. You get the voice, lay it down over the, use Peak or Cool Edit Pro, strip out the music, and off we go. You know, there was a time when it wasn't so easy, but this kind of sound collage and musical approach has gone on for a long time. Let's listen way back. This is from 1964, from the avant-garde classical composer John Cage, very experimental guy. Here he was. He was a pioneer of electronic music, the use of randomness in producing composition. Here is John Cage's Rozart Mix, 1964. It's just great. And on it goes. John Nelson, a.k.a. Escape Mechanism, are you a descendant of this John Cage?
Absolutely. Actually, that's the first time I've heard that track by John Cage. People have been recommending him to me for a long time, but no one's ever pointed me to that particular track. A track I do like to point to is James Tenney's Collage Number 1, subtitled Blue Suede, in which he's doing something along those lines with a recording by Elvis Presley, which was very hot at the time. It was called Blue Suede Shoes.
How did they, of course, this is back in the early 60s also, how did they even do it in those days, John, when you didn't have all that fancy software to layer with?
It was all tape. It was with razor blades and wax pencils, which is how I first got started in school.
So that's just an incredible sound, and it brings that same sort of dream life back to mind. Tim, you listen to John Cage, and I feel tapped in just to an earlier version of what John Nelson's doing that brings us quite up to date.
Right. Well, Cage at that point is trying to say, oh, this is what modern life sounds like to me, and given the most, you know, the most advanced technical resources I have to express and reflect back the world that intrigues me, this is what I come up with. And John is right. In those days, using analog tape, I mean, you were dealing with creating loops and having them spin around and around, and then they figured out if you created a big enough loop, you could actually have someone stand on the other side of the room so the loop could be 20 or 30 feet long.
Wow.
Right? And you'd get a repetition that would last, you know, a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd sequence those together and pile them on top of one another. You'd get very similar effects. The difference is you can do that now on the computer literally with a few clicks of the mouse. So we've just made it easier to create all that stuff.
Let's listen to a little bit of that again on the mashup, more on the pop side. Here's Moby, DJ, songwriter, producer, music, been very influential since the 1990s. This is Natural Blues from Moby. He's mixing some old gospel music with some of his own beats. Tim Riley, I don't know whether to credit Moby or somebody else, but moves my feet.
Well, what strikes me about hearing that Moby track again, which has got to be about 12 years old
mm-hmm.
now, is how, I remember when I first heard it, it sounded like, well, that's pretty cool. He's found a very interesting kind of groove there between the singer and these beats that he's made. But now it sounds really, it doesn't sound so cutting edge. Now we're all so familiar with it that it's now a part of our everyday sonic experience through movies and radio and all this information boom that we've seen. And now it sounds rather ordinary.
Tame,
I don't want to say it's
mm-hmm.
bad. I actually like the track a lot, but mm-hmm. It doesn't have that sparkle of the new the way it did when we first heard it.
John Nelson, Tim Riley's onto something here, I think. We do live in such a media-saturated age. We're very familiar with multiple streams of sound and audio intention coming at us simultaneously in music and out of it.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I think on that track, I don't know if I'm speaking to what you said specifically, but isn't the recording of the woman from a very old archive of recordings?
I think that's true. I think that's right.
And I'm feeling like I recognize the vocal.
He isolates the voice, and of course, Brian Eno and David Byrne did this on My Life with a Bush of Ghosts, and Nelson, I found, was working with an evangelical preacher, too, because, of course, the preachers, the cadences are so rhythmic and so suitable for this kind of treatment that a lot of people get there. That's where they get their inspiration.
Pretty great. Paul in Boston, you're on the air, Paul.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, what do you think?
I've been a DJ as well for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And the concept of the mashup, as you alluded to earlier in the program, is not new.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of taking it in different directions, I think here's my problem with it. And the problem I have with it is not with someone like John, who does really creative stuff that's meant to be listened to outside of, say, like a nightclub setting and sort of pondered in your car on a long
yes,
drive.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
But, The whole mashup society, if you go into like any nightclub in Boston that's playing pop music, it's a real mashup world out there in the nightclub scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to the point where it's kind of reflects our society, like an ADD society where it's like all over the place. There's no room for thought. It's, you know, when you go into what I personally play is house music and techno. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is instrumental. So you can be on the dance floor with 10 people, and 10 people have a different thought. They're thinking about whatever they sort of want to think about when they hear that music.
Because it's such a barrage of sound.
There's no room for any personal thought. It's just like constant 24-hour static to me. That's my only problem with the way that some people sort of, you know, bring across this mashup society.
Yeah. Paul, we hear it loud and clear, and we'll talk more about that. I want to get another angle on this right here, if I may, from Boston. David is on the line. David Hurley, copyright lawyer, professor looking at the music industry at Northeastern. David, thanks for calling in. What do you think, sir?
Oh, thanks, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I love mashups. I think that it's a totally valid art form. But what's interesting to me is that the copyright law, which is sort of very rooted in this permission-based or reality doesn't really allow mashups. I mean, strictly speaking, you're supposed to be getting permission for every single snippet that you use, and I think that it really points to the fact that there is a need for copyright law to be upgraded to the 21st century so that something as wonderful and transformative as mashups can be legal. But, you know, it's interesting, like the Gray album would have been like the biggest selling album of 2005, but nobody made a dime from it because the music industry couldn't cope with this new art form.
David, you know this world well. Does the music industry go after mashup artists? Do they prosecute them, bring charges or not?
They certainly do. There was a case, there's this company called Bridgeport Music, and they have a cottage industry out of suing everybody who uses the smallest little snippet. The band NWA was sued for using a little snippet from a Parliament Funkadelic song that was utterly unrecognizable. But the law says that, you know, thou shalt get permission to sample. And so there's no really such thing as any kind of fair use, according to some courts. So any little snippet requires permission, even if it's unrecognizable. And I think that's totally out of whack. And I think that the law needs to recognize this whole sort of user-generated creativity and amateur mashup, and it needs to be more permissive of this totally, I think, expansive and developing art form. But right now, it's not.
David, thank you for calling. John Nelson, do the people who come through your show, your radio show, Some Assembly Required, get slowed down by the law at all, or do they just go for it?
Well, I think they used to a little bit a while back. I haven't heard people shaking in their boots about it too much these days. I think the general consensus at this point is that the powers that be are rightfully going after the wholesale bootleggers as opposed to those of us who are using just snippets and fragments to create new compositions, which I don't think there's a lot of argument with. I mean, if someone is making a profit off of someone's entire work, then mm-hmm. that's a very different thing than what we're doing.
Let's listen in a different direction. Here's a landmark track, 2003, from one of the Underground's most important artists, Mark Gunderson. He's referred to by many in the business as the godfather of mashups, godfather of bastard pop, or known the sort of artist name here, Evolution Control Committee. Here's totally different sound, Rocked by Rape.
Danger, war, killer, fraud, CIA, mayhem, crisis, horrible, inflation, military threat, the flaming debris, fatal heart attack, stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar and an unremorseful killer, communist international smuggling pipeline, starving victims and how they die, chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths, top FBI kill and injure children.
A big beat, and the voice, of course, you may recognize it, former CBS Evening News anchor forever and ever, Dan Rather. Jim Riley, that sounds less like music to me and more like commentary on the sensationalism of the news business with a big beat behind it.
Yeah, well, it's a great parody of Dan Rather, just stringing that stuff together where he's sounding ultra-serious and giving extra weight to all these horrible things, you know, the flame-throwing, remorseless killer, and then stringing them all together, how ridiculous he sounds.
It's incredible. Rocked by Rape from Evolution Control Committee. John Nelson in Duluth, please stand by. And Tim Riley with us in the studio. Fascinating conversation. I want to go into a break here with a little more from John Nelson's new album. It's called Emphasis Added by Escape Mechanism, his sound collage artist name. This is What's Happening. You can join the conversation. Are you a mashup fan? The Who? Girl Talk? Danger Mouse? Negative Land? Your own? John Nelson, Escape Mechanism. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. This is Stand By Your from Escape Mechanism. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Again, you only answer doing things that you don't understand. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. You don't call me, and please don't tell me
after all, he's just a man.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about mashup music, sound collage, and using mashup and technology to tap into our media age. Dream Life, the Beastie Boys behind us right there with, what have we got? Hey Ladies. We're joined from Duluth, Minnesota by John Nelson, a.k.a. Escape Mechanism. His new album is called Emphasis Added, and I should say right off the bat at the end of the last segment, I completely mangled that. We went out, in fact, with a new track from Vicki Bennett, who records under People Like Us, called Stand By Your. John Nelson, Escape Mechanism, has a lot of great stuff out there himself. We're hearing it. The dreams, the mashup, the music, this hour, you can join the conversation. Are these outlaws, moochers, artists, dreamers? And what's the soundtrack in your head? What's your private mashup sound like? Tim Riley is with us as well, author of Fever and editor of the Riley Rock Index at RileyRockIndex.com. Let's get a call from Isaac in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Isaac, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, especially for John Nelson, how you differentiate the music that you make from sampling that's been going on in music for decades, especially in hip-hop. And like it's used by, for instance, the Avalanches for an entire album, and they take a lot from Hollywood movies, just like you said you do. I was wondering if you think that that is considered mashup, considering just sampling, or how you would differentiate that.
John Nelson, what do you say?
Well, it's come to be called mashups by a lot of people these days, just as prior to mashups becoming so popular, they were calling anything that had samples in it plunderphonics. And for most people, that's probably
you said
just fine.
Plunderphonics? This is sort of the outlaw element or notion there. Plunder. Plunder, what's there?
It's a term defined coined by John Oswald in 1985. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be just about his music, but it's been appropriated to use to describe any kind of work, which is almost 100% sampled. But to answer the question, I don't differentiate much. Myself on my show, on my radio show, I play artists. Anybody who's sampling 50% or more is sort of the guideline that I follow. So artists like the Avalanches, I love. I play them. Frontier Psychiatrist is one of my favorite songs in this genre. And then there's artists like John Oswald and Turntablist, the hip hop Turntablist. I've been playing more and more of that type of work as well for the past 5, 6, 7 years. It all gets mixed in.
Pretty great. Isaac in Ann Arbor, thanks for calling. Let's get Jesse in Hartford, Connecticut. Jesse, you're on the air.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to know where he drew his inspiration from. They made reference to sampling, and I know Kanye West is big into that, and I love listening to his music and how they mash up all that. So I was wondering how, John, you get your inspiration and how you decide what parts of the beat you use to create your vision.
John Nelson.
Well, just whatever sounds the best, I guess. Is that a good enough answer? Whatever clicks in my mind, I'll often lay out just a ton of samples on the screen these days and listen to them over and over and over again, just as I'm sure everyone else does. There's nothing special about the way I work, I don't think. And then whatever pops up, that's what I put into a special category, and then it just gets condensed further and further down until I have something that's my own.
Yeah. On the other hand, this can't help but be very personal in some way. I've read you've got a kind of an obsession with old movie theaters. We heard the sound of the projector earlier. We can all picture that sort of field of motes and the beam of light, that sort of sense of cinema paradiso back in the projection room. And even you're actually a physical collector of the old artifacts of the cinema house from 40, 50 years ago, John.
Yeah, specifically the era of movie theater I'm especially fond of is the 20s and 30s, back when they were, you know, very beautiful to look at. Nowadays they're just these boxes more and more. But, yeah, a lot of the visual collage and assemblage that I do in the past especially, but I still work on that series, is based on my dreams of old movie theaters.
We love it. I want to stick with your sound a little longer and that sort of dream feeling. Here again, from the new album Emphasis Added, this is John Nelson's sound collage, What's Happening, it's called. You hear a lot in here that you may recognize. A little Simon and Garfunkel, the song America, media sound bites. Let's listen.
Why is life worth living?
What's the point?
Why are we here?
The truth is,
just because there's questions, that does not mean there are answers.
I just love it. John Nelson, your dream life is a very appealing place. Those sort of laugh tracks, they're like waves on the beach. And tell us what else we're hearing. I hear a little, is it Woody Allen? I heard a snippet of there. And I don't know, Dr. Ruth or somebody in there?
No. Yes, you were correct. It's Woody Allen, but not Dr. Ruth.
Okay. I have to admit, the tracks blend together in my mind at some point. You know, sunglasses and orgasms and, I don't know, Diane Keaton in there as well. So you're pulling from all over the place. It's just wonderful.
I think I took some good advice a long time ago. A friend told me that if I was going to work this way, I should only be using samples from things that I actually watch and listen. So it's a good representation of the kind of thing that I'm either choosing to watch and listen to or am forced to, because it's just thrown at me wherever I go.
Tim, you're listening in a kind of a dream state yourself. I mean, I really do think it comes to that point where our dreams do kind of converge. I mean, we don't listen alone. We listen together. These are shared, even if John's escape mechanism has made them collective.
Right. Well, what I like about this stuff is that it's got a sense of humor, which is really very, very liberating in a way. And it also, the way it represents the dream life, if you think about what the unconscious is, really, and every night the unconscious comes to life and we all sort of visit the unconscious. It is kind of a junkyard of impressions mm-hmm. and snatches, snippets of conversation, pieces of audio, all kinds of things meshed together. And musicians have long been fascinated with how to express that unconscious world. How can we experience that in the conscious realm? And what is exactly does it consist of? And the other thing I like about John Nelson is that he's really fearless about how he'll just drop in like some very heavy duty philosophy right in the middle of it. Why are we here? Like, what is this all about?
Apocalyptic talk.
And the dreams do have a way of throwing up these really, flaming, profound questions
I heard a snippet, worshiping anything, anywhere. Okay.
Which I just find that really, really sort of charming and fearless. I really like that aspect of it. It's not like it's not trying to whir past you. It's poking you. You know, it's giving you stuff to think about.
Escape mechanism. You're an artist, sir. Kanye West came up earlier. Our caller Jesse mentioned. Here's a little bit from a mashup of his. This is 2007 hit by rapper singer Kanye West with sampling and sound recycling. In this case, many of his songs, Stronger. Kanye West's Stronger. Let's get a call from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Cody, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of mashup music for the past 5-6 years now. I've learned of mashup from this guy named DJ Z Trip. He's a DJ out in LA. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot for like the Obama campaign and did through fundraisers with Shepard Fairey, the guy that did the Obey.
Obey, sure, the Barack Obama poster.
Yeah, well, he did a Obama mix, and you can download it online for free. And he edited out like some of Obama's speeches and stuff, and went from putting like people like Public Enemy to Pink Floyd, and you know, it was a very inspirational like mix. And he just blows me away every time I've seen him. I've traveled to far places, DC, California, and every time I see him, the guy's just an amazing DJ. So.
And so do you go and see performances of this then? I mean, even though it's not being, you know, performed by musical instruments on that stage, just to see someone sort of, I don't know, what do? Just sort of jive alongside their computer?
No. Well, DJ Z-Trip, he comes out with about 4 to 6 turntables and just goes wild with his laptop. And then on the turntables, I've seen, you know, other DJs like the Executioners and stuff do things like this. And it's, to me, it brings a new sight to old music. You know, they take things like, you know, like Led Zeppelin, and they'll play it to some sort of like hip hop beat. And it's just new and it's different and innovative. To me, it's just great stuff. So,
Cody, it's great to hear from you and your enthusiasm. Thank you very much. Let's go to Isabel in Rochester, Massachusetts. Isabel, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful show. I just wanted to say that I'm a 45-year-old stay-at-home mom in a little town in Massachusetts with absolutely no talent or creativity, and I love music.
You love this music, the mashup music.
I love it. Love it. And the reason I love it is because I also think it represents society, like that young man from Boston who called. But I think it represents the best of society. It's the melange that we are in this country. Different people, different music, different expressions, different thinking. And it all comes together in one piece of music. It's so exciting for me. It is the melting pot. So to me, it really represents America. And furthermore, it, for me at least, it's been an entree into other music. I just learned about sampling from some young people I used to work with a few years ago, and it was the entree to hip-hop for me and for jazz, which I have always hated. So it's just wonderful.
Hey, we love it. John Nelson, Isabel's out there with her lighter clicked on for you, it sounds like. Isabel, thank you for calling. Let's hear some more. This is... You mentioned this earlier, Tim. This is Brian Eno and David Byrne Regiment from all the way back in 1981, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts Regiment. Pretty cool. Down through the years, this wasn't born yesterday. Bo in Burlington, Iowa. You're on the air. Hi, Bo.
What's up, Tom? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, the whole mashup deal was pretty cool. I've been a turntablist, club and hip hop DJ for the past 13 years. I'm in the Southeast Iowa area. It was very much a nothing down here, and you gotta, you know, move the masses, and it's pretty cool and everything. But the problem I'm having is this digital media technology, and I'm talking like people taking their computers and hooking them up to their turntable, is taken away from buying the record from the artist themselves and actually using the music.
I hear it, Bo. Our time grows short. Tim Riley, what do you think about that? A lot of music has been made because people bought it. Does this pull the plug at some level?
No, I don't think it is. I think if anything, it feeds the beast. I mean, I think it just the music we've been listening to all hour just tempts me to go out and hit the music store and fish through and find some more cool stuff that I've been hearing.
More cool stuff. Let's hear more. This is Eric B. and Rakim, Paid in Full, 1987.
'Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Soon as a test to see if I got pulled, hit the studio, 'cause I'm paid in full.
Akim, check this out. Yo, you go to your girl house and I go to mine, 'cause my girl is definitely mad 'cause it took us too long to do this album. Yo, I hear what you're saying, so let's just pump the music up and count our money. Yo, but check this out. Yo, Eli, turn the bass down and just let the beat keep on rocking. And we out of here. Yo, what happened to Peace?
Peace. Paid in Full, Eric B. and Rakim. Tristan in Mansfield, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Tristan.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be with you.
You too. What do you think?
Well, I'm a big fan of mashups, but what the comment I called to make was really, I think a lot of it has to do with technology. The reason that mashups have spread so far in recent years is because you've got computer technology that allows sharing of sound clips and editing them together and layering them together, which becomes much easier with that technology. There's an analogy in my mind to some of the other technological innovations, such as social networking, where you really cut out a lot of the middlemen or the brokers in communication, and you get creative people or artists or influential people connecting directly with their constituents or their consumers or their fans.
Yes, and not feeling any hesitation about putting their imprint on it and sort of mashing it together as they network.
Exactly right. It's a great connection, I think, between creators and consumers.
I hear that loud and clear, and it is so much fun to hear. You do hear, Tim, a kind of the collective working on this. I mean, we get tweaked when we play with this. All social networking comes in here. We did a show on hip hop last week, and a friend forwarded to me a little comment from Twitter. Rebecca, thanks a lot for this, sort of tweaking my ears. Just Tom Ashbrook talking about rap, always funny. Please give him a regular gig called National Pimpin' Radio with Big T. But hey, everybody's in the pond here, Tim. Everybody's playing.
One of the great moves, I thought, in this genre was when Brian Eno and David Byrne did the reissue of My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, and they posted some of the individual tracks on the website and encouraged people to come up with new remixes of some of the same tracks. And you could hear some really cool work on the website, and they were just sharing it, saying, here's what we came up with. Now, we give you the same elements. Let's see what you come up with. It was very much this kind of social networking kind of thing, just inviting the audience right there into the studio with you and say, well, what would you do with it if you had these same tools?
John Nelson, it's been such a wonderful trip joining in on your dreams in this hour. Where do you see this all going, John? Where's the tone headed?
I'd like to see all these different subgenres that we've talked about today kind of becoming less and less defined and becoming more part of the same thing, just as far as the genres crossing over each other.
Yeah. So just keep on mashing, mash deeper, mash, and the fruit of that is, what, do we all understand each other once it gets all mashed into one soup, or is it lost?
Coming closer together. I liked what your caller said before about it mirroring the melting pot that is America.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
It's an education and a lot of fun. John Nelson, Escape Mechanism in Duluth, Minnesota. His new album is Emphasis Added. His radio show is Some Assembly Required. John, it's been just great having you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And Tim Riley, it's always a blast to have you in. Tim Riley, author of Fever, How Rock Transformed Gender. Look for his work online at RileyRockIndex.com. Tim, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll go out with one more big mashup from Bran Flakes. This is Super Dance Party. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.